morning. Welcome to virtual worship at Essex United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us. I'm Narda Carlson. I'm a certified lay servant, and I'm filling in for Mitch and Barb, who are on a well-deserved staycation. I'm so glad you joined us on this beautiful Sunday. I'd like to open with a welcome from Psalm 11, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing and know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness through all generations. And now we have our weekly children's message given by Danielle Sturgeon.
All right, guys. Time for another young people's message. So, is there anybody that you kind of miss since we're not able to be in church?
Noah. Because he lets us help wash the dishes.
Noah, because he helps let you wash the dishes at coffee time, yep. Anybody else?
Everett.
Did you know he just had his fourth birthday?
No.
That's pretty exciting. No. Who else? Who are some other people we miss?
Papa.
You like playing with Papa. Sometimes you play soccer with Papa. Mm-hmm. And David?
Everett.
Everett, you said Everett.
Wally.
Paige.
Bella.
Yeah. Mamiya. Yao. Yeah, there's lots of people we miss. Lamar. Tons of people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Pastor.
And Pastor Mitch. Yep. He'll be glad you mentioned his name. All right, so there's other things we've been missing. Can you guys help me empty things out of this bag?
Yeah.
What's that, Emmett?
A skiing pool.
Now, last year, did we get to ski to the end of the year?
No.
No. All right, let's see what else is in here.
What's in this?
Can you pick one right off the top? So we don't have to... Yep. What's that?
Backpack.
How's school been going?
I haven't been going to school because I was sick.
You weren't sick. Other people were sick, and that's why you're not going to school. Good fall.
Yeah.
All right, what else is in here? A basketball. Emmett was supposed to go to basketball camp this summer. Did he get to go?
No. I'm so excited.
All right, what else we have in here? Go ahead, Emmett.
Ooh,
a sand bucket. Where do you like to use the sand bucket?
At the beach.
At the beach. And we were supposed to go to the beach. Are we going?
No.
No. Pick something else out. Ooh, some fancy party shoes. Are you going to be going to a nice birthday party sometime soon?
No.
Okay.
Auntie Jenna's wedding.
Auntie Jenna's wedding, which has to be just family in the backyard instead of 150 people. So that's pretty different.
Here.
Yep.
What else?
Ooh, do you know what this is? My calendar, right? My planner? My planner. Here's a nice, let's look at this month. Oh, what does it look like?
Nothing.
Pretty empty. Right, what else is in here? Emmett?
A football.
What's on the football?
Giants.
What, have you been watching a lot of sports games?
No
live sports games. What else is in here? Ooh, did you get to play t-ball this year? No. What else? One more thing. Ooh, cleats. What do you use cleats for?
Soccer.
There was a soccer camp this summer. Do you think you get to go?
I'm so excited.
Probably
coronavirus.
Bro. So, one time, Jesus sent all of his disciples out to do a bunch of busy things. They were preaching. They were teaching. They were probably throwing around a football. They had a lot of things that were keeping them really busy.
Yeah.
And probably not throwing around. So when they all came back to be with Jesus, he saw that they were really tired. And there were still a lot of people that wanted to see them. But he said, I see that you're tired. And he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they were kind of like a family to each other. And they were going to spend some time all together and take a little rest. Kind of be quiet. Now, normally, these are all the things we would be doing. But coronavirus kind of made it so we couldn't be doing these things. And I don't think God wanted us to have to give up all these things because of coronavirus. But I think since this is something we already had to give up, he's inviting us to take some quiet times by ourselves and get some rest. Because these things really tire us out. So our bag's empty now. What are some things we could do that we could kind of think about putting in there that would give us some rest? Coloring. What about you?
Can you think of something?
Snuggling with our family. That's a good one. What about you, Hannah? Can you think of something? Praying. We can pray to God and get some rest.
Reading books.
You've been doing a lot of reading books. We've been reading a lot of books together. Yeah. Eating dinner all together because we don't have to go to practice and watch football and do all kinds of things.
Resting outside,
in the hammock together. So God's inviting us that even though these kind times are kind of crazy because all of our craziness has been taken away, he's inviting us to take some quiet times by ourselves to get some rest. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we know that you value rest. We know that normally our lives are filled with soccer and baseball and dance and parties, but right now our lives have to be quiet. And in this quiet time, help us to find some times by ourselves to get some rest. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danielle, for all those wonderful children messages that we've been hearing. They add a lot. So Kathy and Roger Dodge are now going to share some readings from several scriptures on giving thanks.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all thy wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father.
And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Roger and Kathy. The Bible is full of verses like the ones that they just read. We're commanded again and again to give thanks without ceasing. We're told to do this during the good times and during the equally difficult and dark times. Giving thanks is an integral part of the way we're supposed to pray. But why? No matter which article I read, or which resource I looked into, and there were several, I kept finding the same reasons over and over again. We're supposed to give thanks to focus on our blessings given by God. We're supposed to give thanks because it helps us see what we normally take for granted. It keeps us in the present, the here and now. It helps us focus what's right around us. It's to keep us from becoming arrogant because we have so much, or bitter because we're lacking. It's to make us aware of the strengths and the tools that God has given us. It's to keep us balanced, keep us mindful in the present and in the right relationship with God. And mostly it is to give us hope. In a nutshell, all those come back to keeping our perspective in check. If you've been on social media anytime in the last 2 years, you've probably seen the same meme that I have. It starts with that familiar saying about the glass of water. The optimist sees the glass as half full. The pessimist sees the glass as half empty. But dude, there's water in the glass and you can drink it. That's the point. That's the way the realist sees it. It doesn't matter if normally in life you're an optimist or a pessimist, if you see the glass as half full or half empty, the point is there's water in that glass. And when we give thanks that there's water in that glass, it reminds us that we can drink it and God gives that to us. I've asked several members of our congregation to share what they're thankful for and the unexpected blessings that they might have discovered during the pandemic. Jeremy's put together their responses and some beautiful pictures that they shared, and I invite you to listen to their voices.
The COVID-19 pandemic and the effect it's had on millions of people around the world makes both Marlene and I realize how very thankful we are for what we have. We're both thankful for our health systems. I had a couple of stents put in my heart couple weeks ago, and Marlene had cataract surgery a month ago. She also had a cracked collarbone at the beginning of the pandemic. We were very fortunate in that the insurance paid for most of it. Although we both need occasional procedures such as these, we're thankful for our health, which for the most part is very good. This enables us to exercise daily inside as well as outside on our bikes, weather permitting. When we hear about the millions of people who can't afford food and have a hard time paying rent, we feel, again, how fortunate we are. We're retired and living off Social Security and our pensions, and our income really hasn't changed that much. We're also thankful to be surrounded by so many wonderful people. Thank you very much, and I hope you all are doing well.
Hi, this is Marlene. And I am thankful that I'm surrounded by so much beauty. We have flowers in our garden, the mountains, and Lake Champlain. I love that I have a back road to ride my bicycle on, and that I saw a monarch butterfly for the first time the other day. I'm thankful that we buy our Christmas trees at a place that plants milkweed to help bring back the monarch. I'm glad that I live in a state where people care enough about others to wear masks even though it's hot and uncomfortable. I have so many things that I'm grateful for that I think I'd better stop now and hope to see you all soon.
I am so grateful for gardening. Getting out in the dirt, planting flowers and vegetables, pulling weeds, bringing yellow roses and pink zinnias into the house, watching the lilies bloom, picking beans and digging potatoes, tomatoes ripening on the windowsill, even arguing with deer and the rabbits. It's all food for my soul.
I'm grateful and give thanks to the performing artists, the musicians, actors, dancers who continue to find ways to share the truth and beauty of their art. For example, when Europe went into lockdown in mid-March, the pianist Igor Levit embarked on a series of 52 consecutive evening recitals on Twitter from his Berlin home.
I praise God for the beauty of my days. In mid-December, my first great-grandchild arrived in Tokyo. Her parents brought beautiful Amelie to California to meet her family in March, but my trip was canceled because of COVID-19. But I was not left brokenhearted. Almost every Saturday night, her engineer daddy dials up a family chat. It's breakfast time in Tokyo, and I get to watch Amelie and see the faces of my West Coast and Tokyo family. I got to see Amelie take her first bite of rice. She made a terrible face. Having a project helps keep me happy. The problem with projects is that they kind of seem to end. But as one project is ending, God seems to always drop a new one on me. Thanks, God. On days when my crazy dog rescue daughter works, I get to keep Tiny Piper, who was rescued from an awful puppy mill, a throwaway puppy due to a heart murmur. Vets here diagnosed her heart as having a hole, and a wonderful veterinary cardiology surgeon over in Albany was able to mend it. We've had her about a month. I'm afraid she's no longer a foster. Her feisty antics keep us laughing. God brings so much good into my life.
The things that I'm thankful for, I've always been thankful for, basically, my church family has been awesome during all of this. My son Christopher and all of his circle of friends have really helped me out. And I've just been thankful for people that are helping others at this time. I'm a little worried now because when we first started, everybody was so helpful, and then temper started growing shorter, and now everybody's sort of, I think, numb from it all. But I'm just really thankful. Adam Norton has gone grocery shopping for me from the very beginning since this has started, and people have come to help me do move my trash and take back bottles, and it's just been things that I can't do, and they've all stepped up to help, and it's just been a wonderful experience. And then my church family, I've been able to call people when I'm feeling lonely or down and find out how they were doing, and to find out that we were all in the same boat and we all got to share things that we were concerned about and worried about, and thankful that they were willing to share their feelings with me and that I could share my feelings with them. And it's just been a great experience in some respects, and then in some respects it's been a scary experience, not being safe in a grocery store or in a crowd, and I'm a people person. I like to be with people, but I'm just thankful for all the caring that went on and sharing.
One gift that the pandemic has given me has been that my daughter Molly came home 4 months earlier than expected, and she brought with her boyfriend Max to join me and my son Owen here in Essex, and that was right at the end of March, at the beginning of the lockdown. And so I have been so fortunate to have three young adults living with me, full of enthusiasm for the things that I really enjoy, like cooking and gardening, and they are great conversationalists. So I have had a really wonderful lockdown in many ways, and it's just a surprise that such a terrible thing, this pandemic, could have brought me something so wonderful as the companionship that I have been enjoying.
Thank you, COVID, for being it, because I get to spend more time with my mommy. Thank you, COVID, I love you.
My parents instilled in me a daily habit of gratitude for everything from the roof over our head to the tiny little flower growing up through the sidewalk, and when David came along, he happily acquired that tradition, so I kind of feel like we've fared better than many during the pandemic. In the absence of the rush and flow of life, the obligations and the activities and the busy work, came a peace that was staggering but strangely beautiful. Suddenly, we had all this time to slow down, connect, and reflect on what was really important in our lives versus the things that weren't serving our faith, health, or happiness. Parenting during a pandemic? It's parenting. And it's challenging. But I have genuinely enjoyed the one-on-one time with David that COVID has afforded us. I love having nothing better to do than get to know him and all the cool stuff that's happening in his 7-year-old brain. It's really amazing that might otherwise be lost to the exhaustion of a long day at school or the stress of life or just being too busy running around to connect deeply. Another bright spot, David is a voracious natural learner and had been struggling with the rigid structure of public school after enjoying the freedom of his play-based preschool, so asynchronous virtual instruction was actually a godsend. We used the lessons as prompts for him to pursue more organic learning, developed new strategies to approach the rote work, and he's actually getting his spark and enthusiasm back that I hope will carry over when he returns to in-person learning, whenever that happens to be. But one of my favorite blessings has been the blossoming of David's curiosity about God. About 3 weeks into our confinement, I was having a very low morning, so I tuned into the virtual worship from the comfort of my bed. David joined me, and he listened to the entire service for the first time instead of being antsy and impatient like he is in person. So the Church of St. Mattress has now become a cherished routine that has led to many wonderful questions and deep discussions about God and faith and our responsibility as people of Christ, especially in the wake of George Floyd's murder. On David's side, his blessing that he's been expressing has pretty much stayed consistent from day one.
I'm really grateful to everyone who contributed and to Jeremy for pulling that together. I'm very thankful that Jeremy's dad let him play with the video camera when he was little. That benefited us all very well. I just want to point out that giving thanks isn't going to cure COVID. Giving thanks isn't going to eliminate evil. It's not going to make your life perfect. If you tend towards being a pessimist, it's not going to make you an optimist. But it is a practice that God encourages us to cultivate, to make it a part of our daily routine, to make it a very active part of prayer. The more you pray, the more you give thanks, the more you find it will strengthen you, lift you up, and keep you aware of your blessings. Mental health professionals have been using an exercise to help people who struggle with anxiety attacks. They ask when people are starting to feel anxious, they ask them to name 5 things they can see, 4 things they can touch, 3 things they can hear, 2 things they can smell, and 1 thing they can taste. By doing this and centering themselves in the here and now, it helps calm them down and keep them in touch with reality. And when we give thanks in prayer, that's literally the same process. We're grounded by naming that which we might have taken for granted, by that which we have, as little or insignificant as we might first think it is. It removes our focus from that which distresses us, and it redirects our thoughts from that we don't have. I was raised to be thankful, and I've cultivated what popular culture calls an attitude of gratitude. It's kind of become a very trite phrase. But the more I live in an attitude of gratitude, it's become so ingrained in me that it's an automatic reflex. I often give thanks without even thinking about it. But there is one moment when that attitude of gratitude kicked in that I gave thanks that will always stay in my memory and heart. The worst time of my life started on a Monday morning when my husband took his life. And of course, I was devastated beyond comprehension. 1 week later, on the next Monday morning, and it was in the middle of March, my friend Pam packed up her car and headed back to New York. And for the first time in a week, I was all alone. And I had to tend to regular life And being that it was late March, the first thing that needed to be done was shoveling my driveway. So I did. And after a few minutes, I realized that it felt really good to move my muscles. And then I heard the bird song. I stopped and I looked around me. The white snow was sparkling bright under the bright sunshine. The sky was a vivid, vivid blue. And in the top of the dark bare tree at the end of my driveway sat the bright red cardinal singing his little heart out. My automatic reaction was, oh, thank you, God. And I paused. That giving of thanks caused me to breathe and focused. And I realized that while I was never more lost, that I'd never been more devastated, that there was still beauty in the world, and that there was hope for the future, and that eventually things would get better. If I could see that cardinal and be thankful for him, there was hope. Giving thanks does not cure the ills of the world, but it does remind us that there is water in our glass to drink. Amen. We're going to take a moment, a few minutes, to enjoy Catherine's rendition of Simple Gifts. And while we listen, I invite you to share your joys and concerns in the chat on Facebook for our time of prayer. Please join me as we enter a time of prayer. With every breath we take today, we vow to be awake. And every step we take, we vow to take with a grateful heart. So we may see with the eyes of love into the hearts of all that we meet, to ease their burden when we can and touch them with a smile of peace. Lord, thank you for gathering us together, for the technology which allows us to share the joys and worries that we bring to you. Hear us as we name those we are holding in prayer. We pray for those lifted up last week, the continued healing of Barb's mother, for Bill, Danielle, Elaine, Mary, Jan, Donna's father, Jan's friend Sandy, Joseph, and Natalie. We pray for those who are grieving, for Kevin on the loss of his mother, for the Steinhauer family on the loss of Mark. We are praying for Diane Liberty Adams and her family at the loss of her husband, Michael Adams. Be with those who are starting new journeys, for Chloe and Tynan in the Midwest, for Sam traveling to DC, for all the college students traveling to campuses and enduring quarantines while they settle into unfamiliar places. We pray for all those heading back to school in the next few weeks with so many unknowns and so much anxiety. Going back to in-person school presents challenges for faculty, staff, and children, for the parents balancing their own employment and childcare. In a time of no right answers, Lord, please watch over us. We thank you for the many blessings and joys in our life, especially the joy of Wes and Ruth's Bristol's 68th anniversary. A wonderful couple to be an example to all of us. Thank you. And hear us, Lord, as we join together in the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. So there are a few announcements. These were sent out in an email and can be found on the Facebook page as well. UMCOR is responding to the blast in Beirut. If you would like to make donations, you can make them at umcor.org. Pastor Mitch is on staycation for the next week, but he is still available for pastoral emergencies. And next week, Josh Knox is going to lead this online worship. And in-person worship will resume on August 30th at 9 a.m. Pay attention to your email and the Facebook page on how to reserve your spot. Live stream worship is still going to continue for the foreseeable future at 10 a.m. each Sunday. Thank you so much for attending worship with me. We're going to close with a blessing, and then there'll be a postlude from Catherine. May you live today with gratitude for the love that fills your heart, for the peace that rests within your spirit, and the voice of hope that says all things are possible. Amen. Mm-hmm.